Well, it's a blessing to be back this morning, and I missed being here the last two Sundays, and this morning I will be speaking a lot shorter. Don't say amen to that, but I don't think I've got it, endurance to be able to speak as I normally do. I had prepared this message two Sundays ago, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and was hoping that I'd be able to share it last week, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. But this is in our study of Ephesians. This will be the last message I'll share until the new year. From Ephesians. But today we're going to look at two verses in Ephesians chapter 5. We will look at verse number 3 and number 4. However, we will read verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes, open our understanding, help me. I pray that you'd help our people, that we would be listeners and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The image you see there on the projection represents mankind, in particular, each of us that are saved have been given gifts. That's what the starburst there at the hands represent, that God has given us particular gifts. I'm not talking about spiritual gifts. I'm talking about common grace gifts that his creatures, humans, have been given. We have alluded to some of these gifts in the last few weeks that are alluded to in our text. The three things that we see here that are alluded to are the gifts. Number one, the gift of smell. I spoke to you a few weeks ago about good smells and bad smells. Here in the last part of Ephesians 4, he talks about certain things that smell good. Being kind, being tender-hearted, being forgiving as Christ has forgiven us. And what does it say in the very first verse or second verse of chapter 5. The first verse, we're to imitate God. And it says in verse 2, He gave Himself for us. Gave Himself up for us. What was it? A fragrant offering. A sweet-smelling offering to the nostrils of God. I'd mentioned to you that over 100 times in the Bible, it mentions that God was pleased with the wafting smell and aroma of sacrifices. The first sacrifice we see in Genesis chapter 8 after Noah, after the flood, after Noah came out of the ark, he offered a sacrifice of all the clean animals. And it says, in the nostrils of God, it was a fragrant smell. So we see here Paul mentions in verse number 1 and 2 that we're to be like God. We're to be like the Lord. That we are to also be sacrificial as He was. And that is a sweet-smelling savor. But in contrast, he mentions a bunch of things that stink, smell bad. When he talks about bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice, all those things, those stink. Thank God that he has given us the sense of smell, as we talked about earlier. Some things it tells us is bad, it's nauseating, it's putrid. And sin should be that way in all of our lives. In contrast, being kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, those things are a sweet-smelling savor to God. There's another thing that I want to mention. These are general gifts that God has given humankind, the gift of sex, the gift of sexuality. You're going to see mentioned in the latter part of chapter 4, mentions of sexuality in the negative sense. It stinks. It's a foul smell when sexuality is perverted. You see there in verse number 3, he mentions sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, meaning in the context of sexual sin. These things is a perversion. They're spoken of here in the negative because people take the gift of sexuality, the blessing of it, and they have perverted it. And Paul mentions that here. God is the originator of sexuality. You see in the gift of sex, partnership. Partnership between a husband and a wife. That God has blessed their differences and their fittings and their intimacy. It is a partnership that is not to be perverted, not to be broken, not to be sinned against in adulterous relationships. Sexuality is also given to us not just for partnership, but for procreation. The wonderful blessing of our children. Where did they come from? They came from an intimate relationship of a partnership of a husband and a wife coming together and God opening the womb and blessing by giving children. Children only come into this world through the means of sexuality. And also, sex is a gift of God for pleasure. Not only partnership, not only procreation, but pleasure in the marriage bed, in the intimacy of a husband and a wife. Well, we see here in chapter 5, sexuality mentioned, but in the negative sense, in the bad sense, in the sense where it is perverted. And then we see the third gift that I want to speak to you about today, and that's the gift of speech. Speech. For the first time in my 68 years of existence, I've not been able to talk. For 4 or 5 days, I couldn't get a squeak out. I could not talk at all. I did not have a voice. I did not have means of communication with my wife and all the family that was there at Thanksgiving. I had to sit there like a mute. I would try to convey things, but I did not have a voice. It's ironic that as I've been meditating on this scripture, that at this time I've not had speech. Well, today, speech is spoken about in verse number 3 and verse number 4. He says in verse number 3, but sexual immorality, impurity, covetous must not be named among you, talked about among you, as is proper among saints. And what does he say in verse 4? Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Go back into chapter 4. Look up there at verse number 29. What did he say there? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do you see the gift of speech that he's talking about? That we all have this gift, with the exception of some in this world that do not have the ability to talk. But that's our subject today. Our title today is Talk. Talk. You see two individuals, two images here, picture. And one is speaking. When you see that bubble, or like in the cartoons, and you see a bubble above somebody, that's meaning that they're the one talking, and the other persons or listening. Well, I want to talk just for a moment about this subject given to us here by the Apostle Paul about talk. Now, as always, in the Scriptures, we find contrast. We find something that is proposed, and then we find the contrast to it, or the comparison. That's what I want us to see here in these next few minutes. First of all, I want us to talk about bad talk. Bad talk. Talking that is bad. Talking that is not profitable. Talking that is, by God's command here, prohibited. I want you to notice, first of all, things not proper to be talked about among the saints. Do you see that in verse number 3? In verse number 3, look at the last part of the verse. These things must not even be named among you, talked about among you, as is proper among saints. Saints are those who have been saved, those who are believers. And there's things that are not proper. They're inappropriate. It seems like our world has lost sense and equilibrium as to what is proper and what is not proper. A generation ago, if people were going to go to a funeral service, they had some understanding as to what was proper and what was improper as far as how you dress. These days, even when it comes to mourning the death of someone, it's just people have no comprehension of what is proper and what is inappropriate. And of course, that's all across our society. But as far as talking, it says there in verse number 3, there's some things that are not proper, not appropriate, things that should not be spoken. You have a gift of speech. God has given it to His creatures, and He gives us the breath to come from our lungs through our vocal cords to produce a sound, a speech. And yet we misuse it with impropriety, improper things. Not only in verse 3 does he say that some things are not proper, but in verse number 4 he says there's things out of place. You say things that are out of place among believers. Do you see that in verse number 4? Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk or crude joke, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Do you see the three things that he mentions that are not proper and are out of place? He mentions filthiness. This is filthy talking. This is what you call off color. You've heard that terminology. That person was speaking and they were a lot of off-color things they were talking about. What that means is that maybe what they're saying is potty mouth, smutty, dirty, filthy or crude. The things that they're saying are suggestive, indecent, risque, racy, bawdy, naughty, vulgar, obscene, raunchy, adult talk, potty talk. That's the connotation of filthiness. Things that are not proper, things that are out of place, that should not be spoken. But I want you to notice the second word that is used there in verse number 4, foolish talk. Foolish talk. We first of all got to know what foolish is, foolish talk is. It is vain talk, foolishness, things that are of lower importance, things that don't amount to a hill of beans, just foolishness. Do you talk like that? Do you talk about things that are foolish, vain? The root word of foolish is fool. What comes out of a fool's mouth? Foolishness, foolish talk. That which is vain, that which is negative, that which is no profit whatsoever. God says to His people here, don't talk like that. You've been given a gift of speech, of talk. Don't use your tongue and your voice for these wicked things. And then crude joking is the third thing. We know what that. Something is crude, meaning it's not appropriate. Something is crude. It makes a person blush and trying to get a laugh. How many of us try to get a laugh? And we'll even cross the line of saying something shady and crude. Oh, the wonderful gift of comedy. And there was a time in yesteryear where comedians would dare not cross a line of propriety or crudeness, or even say something that could be taken suggestively. I spent 15 minutes or so in the last couple of weeks looking at an old Red Skelton program. And many of you, a younger generation, don't even know who Red Skelton was, but we that are a little bit older, he was a man who was funny, comedic, but he could be very serious and he could drop something very meaningful over to you as he would conduct his show each week on television. But comedians today, they lace their sentences with four-letter words and compound words made up of four-letter words to try to get a cheap laugh. Crude joking. We can, in a sense, give them a pass. They don't know God. They're just doing what sinners do. But here Paul is talking to God's people. Don't be a person who uses filthiness, foolish talk, or crude joking. They're out of place. And don't even talk about the things mentioned in verse number 3. It's not even proper to talk about those things. Let's close with good talk. Let's look at good talk. It's right there in verse number 4. The last phrase of verse 4. But instead, in other words, you can take an eraser and erase out all that bad stuff mentioned in verse 3 and 4. But instead, what are we supposed to talk? What are we supposed to say? What is our speech supposed to be comprised of? Let there be thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. What is the thought here? Go back up to chapter 4, verse 29. You see it clearly here. This is what our talk, good talk, is supposed to be. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. That's bad talk. But only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Good talk is to be a blessing to people. It is supposed to leave them better. It is to leave them built up, edified. And what does that? What is that ingredient that does that? Thankfulness. Thanksgiving. Speaking positively. Speaking in a beneficial way. Let there be thanksgiving. The power of your words spoken to someone else, spoken to them, and say to them, I'm thankful for you. That can send shivers to somebody. I'm thankful for you. Boys and girls, look at me, boys and girls. When is the last time that you have in earnest looked at your mom or looked at your dad and said, I'm thankful for you. I love you. I'm thankful that you take care of us. I'm thankful for this, that, or the other. I'm not talking about something that's prompted. I'm not talking about something that... Now tell them thank you. Tell them. I'm talking about from your heart. You are generated. It's generated from a true heart of thanksgiving. You say that. That'll make a mom or dad mushy on the inside. That their child, or a husband or a wife to each other. Years ago, there was a person that was speaking at our church in Winder that was staying at my mom and dad's house. While he was there preaching to our church. And through circumstances, I had been kind of agitated toward my father. It was just little things that just I let agitate me. And while this preacher and I were out one day, and it wasn't anything that he picked up on that caused him to say what he said, but he began to talk to me about my dad and tell me, man, what a fine man he is. And he began to talk about all of the stuff that when I dropped him off that day and was by myself in the car, I thought to myself, what a blessing. What a man that is not just an acquaintance, he's my dad. You know, it's almost like you're going to sell a vehicle and you get it all cleaned up and you get it all and you hear people what they say about that vehicle and you think, I don't know if I want to sell that vehicle or not. You hear things that make you look at it from a different light. And that preacher, he helped me to look at my daddy in a different light. Things that I had taken for granted, things that I had quit looking at or appreciating. And by him speaking to me, causing me to be thankful through the words that he was lubricating my heart. Have you ever took opportunity to talk to somebody and tell them, man, you know, so-and-so was really bragging on you? I'm not talking about lying, but I'm talking about genuinely, so-and-so was bragging on you. So-and-so was talking about something that you had done. And our words can be powerful in edifying someone. You can also use your words to cause two people to want to fight by you saying things, feeding this one and feeding that one, and before you know it, they want to go at it. But if we use our words to try to bring people together, to try to edify them and build them up, that's what we should use our words for. thanksgiving, thanking the Lord for saving us, thanking the Lord for giving us our spouse, thanking the Lord for giving us our children, thanking the Lord for giving us His Word, thanking the Lord for giving us the common mercies that He gives us every day. We don't appreciate things until we don't have them. And what little voice I've got, I appreciate tremendously from what I experienced earlier during this sickness. Turn over to one last scripture, to the book of Colossians. Turn to the right to Philippians and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And here we find Paul reiterating what he's told the Ephesian church. He tells to the Colossian church, but he says it a little bit different in his letter. But look at what he says there in verse number 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, that's including talking, in word or deed, notice that, whether you're speaking or just doing something, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through. Let's talk good talk. Let's talk uplifting, edifying talk. Let's don't do this bad talk stuff he mentions. But let's be people who talk thankfulness. 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 Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. Thankfulness. This is the Word of God that we have read and have been studying. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I pray that if you don't, that you would see Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who died for sinners upon the cross. Believe upon Him. Believe the gospel. Put your faith and trust in Him. And Christians, may we take to heart the good word of God we have read today. Quietly stand to your feet and let's close our service with this last song about thankfulness. Let's sing it from our hearts.
Grace and peace.
Everybody back tonight for our Christmas program for our children at 6 o'clock. They will be performing a program of songs and acting out, and then afterwards we'll be having a reception in the fellowship hall. They've been working hard for many weeks, and so tonight all of God's people, all of our membership, be here supporting our children, the families, and all of those involved in that. So good to see Kenny Lance and his dear wife with us. Hold your hand up, Kenny. We're glad that the Lances, Kenny grew up in our church years ago and has been a transplant to New York for many years. And we certainly miss Brother Dan and Carolyn and dear people. But in just a moment after I read the benediction, I want you to close us in prayer, Kenny. But look at the projection for our closing benediction. It comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's do that last line. Anytime you see an amen, let's amen with it. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Brother Ken and Sheila, would y'all come and stand here right now? And everybody come and give them the right hand of fellowship and tell them how glad we are that they are part of our church. And now let's bow our heads for prayer. Brother Kenny, if you would, lift your voice, please.
Father, we do thank you for this time to be together as believers. We thank you for all your wonderful works. We thank you, first of all, for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that great gift of salvation that he gave to us, for us to rejoice in, but also still keep experiencing that great gift and growing closer to him and to you by that work on the cross through our last days.
Yes.
Father, we do thank you this morning that you do give us the ability to communicate.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you will give us great wisdom in how we use our speech. Lord, I pray that all of us understand the importance of belonging to a local church.
Yes.
And every one of us has that responsibility to minister to each other.
Yes.
And Father, let us not be people that are disjointed, but people that develop a love for each other and can speak that love to each other. And Father, encourage us, each one of us, to keep growing in Christ.
Amen.
And we thank you for the wisdom of your word and that great gift of the church also.
Yes.
In Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen.